Right. I hope you have your Bible with you and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, chapter number 1. And we'll be looking at these verses, verses 1 through 9. We're talking about the resilient life, the life that overcomes, the life that has victory, the life that has some resilience to it as a Christian. And we're going to see that exemplified in our text verses today. The title of today's lesson is A Decision Can Make a Difference. A decision can make a difference. We know that's true, don't we? One decision, good decision, bad decision, can make a difference. But in this case, we're going to see how a crisis was overcome, making the right decisions. Joshua chapter 1, and follow as I read these verses 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, notice what's going on here. The servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, Moses had just died, unto the land which I do give thee, or them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We like those two words, don't we? Prosperity and success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And so this is an occasion that is a very important happening that took place in the life of these Jewish people. By way of introduction, we understand that life gives us some crises from time to time, doesn't it? Some of you are going through it right now, maybe. If not, you probably will before it's over with, and many of you have gone through some real crises in your life. The devil fights us during those times, doesn't he? And the devil will want you to doubt during those times and try to paralyze you by fear. And he will try to get you to make the wrong decisions. That's just the way he works. You remember, he is real. You remember, he works that way. And he has demonic forces at work along with him. A Peanuts cartoon, and that cartoon, Lucy, was trying to comfort Charlie Brown. He had struck out and just kept striking out, couldn't hit the ball. And she said, "That's all right, Charlie Brown. You win some, you lose some." We've heard that phrase, haven't we? You win some, you lose some. And he replied, "That would be wonderful." In other words, if I could just win some, that would be good too, if I could win some and lose some. Did you ever feel like you just were not winning the battle? Sure, we've all been there. You just feel like one thing after another comes up. And how in the world do we rise above these crises that are in our life. How do we become resilient to those things and get the victory? Well, Joshua is an example of that as we look at his life at this point. And as God was allowing Moses to go on and be in eternity, but here was a decision that was made on his part, and he had to make that decision by faith. With God's calling, someone said, comes God's enabling. And God is going to call Joshua here. If God calls you to do something, he will enable you to do it. He does not ask us to do things he won't enable us to do, whatever he's asked us in his word. So there are all kinds of things that come in our life to test our faith, but God will give us the resilience to overcome. So we're going to look at about three lessons now in the life of Joshua concerning that. Number one, there's a potential in a problem. Always think about that. There is a potential in a problem. And even in your problem today, you might be going through, there's potential. The potential for God to do something great, for God to show up, for you to experience God. God can see and do what we cannot. He sees down the road and he can do what we can't do. And so we have to trust God and know that even when there are problems, there's somehow or another, there's potential in the problem. The problem was dominating, and they had this situation here. How are they going to conquer? How are they going to go on in and get to the promised land? And how's that promise going to be fulfilled? And so a whole new generation had come along. You remember they'd spent a lot of time in the wilderness, but a new generation had come along. So we have the death of Moses. Verses 1 through 5 talks about that. Moses died. A great man of God, obviously, but he died. And so in those verses, we are reminded, now after the death of Moses, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. You say, big deal. No, it was a big deal. Just think of all that Moses meant to them. Think of all that he had done for them, all of the conquering things that had taken place. And now this person of great leadership was dead. And that affected them. That made them have some questions, no doubt. He was a great prophet. He was important. He was not perfect as a leader, but he was the leader. And now Moses is dead. That's a big statement. Moses is dead. So you think about it. God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. And then God allowed the 10 plagues to come upon the Egyptians and used him. And then God gave him the 10 commandments. Hey, we're not just talking about an average day guy. We're talking about a great man of God that God called out to do this, and he died. We all are going to face that unless Christ comes in our lifetime. And I've been to the funerals of a lot of great men of God over the years, and it's a sobering thing to see their remains and think how great that man was, and yet he died. Some of you went to the funeral of Dr. Lee Robertson, and it was just almost surreal to stand and see his body in the casket. And we could go on and name a number of others, but just put that in your mind about Moses. Here he is, and now he died. And maybe they were afraid of the past when they had an opportunity to go in the Holy Land and to seize that opportunity, and they did not seize that opportunity. They had failed around 40 years earlier. So, by the way, it's not good to get stuck in the past. That had happened in the past. Don't get stuck in some failure you've had in your past. That's over with. You trust God, you go on, you move forward, and God will take care of all of those things. And the devil will try to bring up your past all the time to try to discourage you. And all of us have a past. Don't look so pious at me. We all have a past. From birth till today, you know you do. We all do. And so they probably were thinking, maybe, I don't know if we can do it or not. There have been some failures. In some of people's lives, you hear the testimonies. We heard some testimonies in the 15th anniversary last Friday night of the Bridge to Recovery. And I'll tell you, it would just bring tears to your eyes to hear the testimony of some of those folks and see what God has done. But they have to forget their past. Maybe they had an abortion. Maybe they were unfaithful to their spouse, or maybe a drug addiction. I don't know what, but the Lord makes a difference. Forget the past. God remembers them against us no more. He remembers them, but he doesn't remember them against us no more. We remember them more than that. And so we have to move on and go forward and learn from our past. Don't live in the past. We can be successful, or we can have failure. Sometimes we want to live in the past of our successes. We shouldn't live in the past of our successes. Shouldn't live in the past of our failures. Our look should be an onward look, a forward look, looking ahead to what God wants to do with us. Always reaching forward. Well, how do we know that's true? Well, Philippians 3, 13 to 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I hadn't got there yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching, forgetting and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God, of God in Christ Jesus. Moses was a great leader, but now the Israelites had to look forward. They had to look to God. Moses was gone. They had to look to God. So you have the death of Moses. That's a trial. That was a crisis to them. And then the designation of Joshua. The designation of Joshua. An important time. The Israelites, of course, were often in a crisis. God would always raise up a leader. We know that in the history of them over and over and over. And so when they were in Egypt in bondage, God raised up Moses to lead them out. 40 years in the wilderness, and God was preparing Joshua during that time as Moses was leading them out. And he was called in verse 1 and 2 that he was the minister, Moses' minister, and he was saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. But then he talked about the fact that Joshua was to step in. But what we need to look at here is that he was a servant. He ministered to Moses all of those years. He was with him, and he stayed with him, and God was preparing him to minister. Sometimes young guys get out of seminary, and they want to jump in, and sometimes that they can do it, but sometimes they don't want to get the experience. They don't want to do that. I advise most of them to work with someone, and they'll either learn how to do it or how not to do it, but they'll learn something and then go on out and move on out and serve the Lord. But sometimes that isn't the case at all. But God was preparing Moses. You remember after the Exodus, there was a battle with the Amalekites, a big major Bible battle that we remember about. Aaron and Hur, you remember what they did? They held up the hands of Moses. But where was Joshua during that time? You say, well, he should have been up there. No, he was doing something. And the Exodus tells us that he was... he led the men in battle as they were praying and holding up his hands. He was down there in the battle. Exodus 17, 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on top of the hill. And Joshua, he was busy, discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. These people basically had no military experience. But Joshua took on the battle and he led them in that battle. And I think he had learned a good bit from Moses by then. But he had a proven courage. And then he had a proven faith. A proven courage and a proven faith. Israel was approaching the promised land. There was another time when they were approaching that promised land, and about a year and a half after the Exodus, somewhere in that time frame, Moses sent out 12 spies. You remember the story well, I'm sure. And so as those 12 went out, 10 of them came back and said, "We can't do it. We just can't do it. They're big guys over there. We're not going to win the battle." But thank God there was Joshua and Caleb. And they said, "Oh, yes, we can." And Joshua had been following Moses and knowing what God did with him, and as he was the servant of Moses. And so he believed in that. He had learned that. And so these spies came back, and the rest were faithless, all except Joshua and Caleb. And they said, let's go. We can conquer the land. The grapes of Eshcol, the fruit that is there, the pomegranates. And we can handle those because God's on our side. So nearly 40 years later, they entered the land. Joshua and Caleb's faith when they went in that land that day was proven. They should have listened 40 years before, but they didn't. And so I like what J. Sidlow Baxter said. This is a quote. He said, "What is the difference between an obstacle and an opportunity? What is the difference between an obstacle and an opportunity? Our attitude toward it." Think of that. Every opportunity has a difficulty, and every difficulty has an opportunity. And that is so true. So we've got to see our problems in light of God's greatness and know that your problems are opportunities for God to show his power and to show up. And that's the resilience that you will have if you'll have that kind of attitude. Faith leaders always focus on God. People who have been faithful leaders and faith leaders focus on what God can do, not on the problem. And this is what faith-proven leaders do when there's a crisis. They lead. They direct people's focus to the presence of God. They direct them to the fact that God can handle this. God can help rather than on the greatness of their problem. And so that's part of it. And then a proven humility. He was said that he was his servant. He was his minister in verse 13 and in Joshua 1:1 and Exodus 24:13. Moses rose up and his minister Joshua. There he was working, serving, had a servant's heart. And Joshua patiently waited. He didn't say, "Well, why didn't I get to go up on the mountain with you?" Or, "Why didn't they recognize me?" All of that. He was waiting and waiting on God. Now, the rest of that crew got anxious. And they didn't want to wait on God. And they built a golden calf. And while Moses was up on the mountain, and they said, let's take matters in our own hands, and we'll build a golden calf. But Joshua wasn't up on the mountain, but he was there praying, and he didn't get mad because he wasn't recognized or up there, but he just kept being faithful, 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 and that's part of leadership. Now, 40 years later, he's still standing, he's still serving, he didn't blame Moses, and he served out of all humility as he did that. What about us in our service? We may not see the results right away in our service, but the resilient life is a patient life. Keep that in mind. It's a patient life, waiting on the Lord. Impatience will lead you to make bad decisions sometimes if you don't wait on the Lord. Sometimes people move when they shouldn't move because they didn't wait on the Lord. I've had people move away from where our church was, or maybe in Indiana, Virginia, and call me back later and said, I hate that we moved, and I wish we were back here. Sometimes there are exceptions. We understand that. But sometimes people just don't consult the Lord, and they make decisions, and they change jobs, and then wish they hadn't, and they marry too quickly sometimes and find out that that's a mistake later on. But we have to be patient, wait on God. And Joshua had learned that. Norman Geisler, he was a premier Bible expositor and teacher Bible commentaries. And he was reached really because a layman was faithful and would not give up on him. Many of us have, preachers have his books in our libraries. But there was a Sunday school teacher and bus driver who invited him to Bible school. And he came to Bible school, and then he stayed all the way until he was a senior in high school. What if that man had given up? He was there 8 years. What if that man had given up on the 6th year? He was patient. He kept doing it. He kept trusting God. And then he may have said, well, this kid doesn't care. I don't have time for him anymore. But he didn't. And then he got saved and served the Lord and became one of the great teachers of yesterday. So be careful before you make a decision out of impatience. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. We just sometimes don't want to wait, so we get in trouble. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So there's a potential in a problem. There's a promise with the opportunity. Thank God we have his promises. A quote that I ran across in the material was, with God's calling comes God's enabling. And that is true. God enables us when he calls us. God gave us the church, and he gave us the promises with the church. And he said the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. So the church, what we do as a church, is never in vain as we serve the Lord, because God promised he would bless the church. The local church is vitally important. And so we have a promise of the land that God gave him. God's promise is a promise of the Lamb. Originally, he gave it to Abraham, and now he's just simply restating it. And they only claimed maybe about 10% of the 300,000 square miles of land that they should have claimed. What about us? How much of our territory are we claiming? How many of God's promises are we claiming? Are we just sort of hit and miss, or do we really hear them? Do we even act on those promises that he's made? Or do we just become people who do not have resilience and faith? So it's a promise of the land and a promise of victory. Chapter 1 and verse 5, he said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. He said, Joshua, I'm going to give you victory. You're going to have victory, the promise of victory. And there was no army that could block him, nobody that could defeat him as such. God tells us that we run into those obstacles. Romans 8 talks about these things. What about tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, all of these obstacles that we have? And God says to us today that I'm greater than all these things. He says in Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. All these things he just mentioned. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He doesn't give us resilience from trouble, but in trouble. And that's where it comes. And then the promise of God's presence in verse 5, the same thing. God is our ultimate source. Hebrews 13:5-6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Why? How can we do that? Are you? Can we? For he has said, I will never leave thee. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. I'm not going to fear it. Why? God's my helper. I don't have to worry about all those things. We have those same promises. We just need to claim them. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And then there's power in decision. Our decisions should be made on the basis of God's promises. Our decisions. What did God say? What did God promise? I'm going to make my decision on the basis of his promises. And Joshua had about a threefold decision, and these are all good for us, very good for us today. A decision of courageous faith, that's found in verse 6. He's not just talking about bucking up and having grit. That's like a Marine or like somebody at West Point. But he's not just talking about that, but we have to be strong in the Lord. We have to depend on the Lord. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. No, in the power of his might, in the power of God's might. Be confident that he is always, always going to be there. A.W. Tozer said, the only fear I have is to get out of the will of God. Outside the will of God, there's nothing I want. And in the will of God, there's nothing I fear. When you walk with God, you don't have to desire all the other things. He'll give you the desires of your heart. It'll be what God wants you to have. But we just have to know that if we're in God's will, you don't have to fear anything. So in times of fear and crisis, remember that God gave those words, be strong and of a good courage. And then a decision of complete obedience. In verse 7, he's talking about complete obedience. Be thou strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. You got to do. Be courageous and obey. That's what he's saying. God demanded complete obedience out of him. He said, you have to obey. We want conditional obedience. We say, God, you bless me and then I'll give the money. God says, no, I'll bless you after you give the money. And you see, we get it backwards. And so we want conditional obedience. That's not the way God works. Roger Staubach was a great quarterback, but he didn't like Tom Landry at times. He respected him because of his brilliant mind in sports, and especially in football, but he wanted to call his own plays. And he got mad at Tom Landry because he would not let him call his own plays. But finally he said, I faced up to the issue of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory. And by the way, he led them to 2 Super Bowls. So he sort of got over it. We've got to accept God's authority and obey the Lord. That's what it's all about. And then a decision of continual meditation. In verse 8, he's telling him, keep meditating. The book of the law, of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Meditate therein day and night. Keep meditating on the word of God. It's a tool that helps you obey God and do what God tells you to do. If you don't meditate, you're not going to grow much. You're not going to be strong. What you think about all the time the most is what directs your life. And so that's daily decisions. We need to saturate our mind with the scripture. What do you talk to yourself about? We all talk to ourselves, don't we? We really do. People say that's a sign of being crazy. No, we just talk to ourselves. But what goes in, what's there, is what you're going to talk to yourself about. So pour God's word in there. And then if you have a crisis, just remember God will make a way. God's going to make a way in that crisis. There's a potential in a problem. There's a promise with the opportunity, and there's power in making a decision. And these decisions rest upon God's promises, and that's what gives us resilience. All right? Now, we're going to get out of here pretty fast. I'm going over to Tabernacle Baptist in Arlington to preach, so if we don't talk to you on the way out, don't get mad at us, okay? We've got a boogie to get over there, and I'm trying not to break the speed limit. All right? You're dismissed.